You are listening to episode 25 of the Paper Player Podcast. I'm your host, Tony, and I'm joined with a partial cast. We have no Jeff this week, but Josh and JB are here. JB, what is going on in the bazaar?
Nothing. The bazaar's closed. I didn't have any trades at the tournament at the Milwaukee Gaming Convention or whatever it was. Like, okay. No one really brought anything, and I think Josh also had that experience on Sunday.
Yeah, I got. I got some trades. I got a foil dowsing dagger at the Midwest thing for my EDH deck, and then when I played EDH on Friday, I got a strip mine and Azusa to go with my Crucible of Worlds.
Nice.
Wow. So, JB, you're not on the hunt for anything? EDH.
I mean, if you got an LED still, I'll take it. Come on over.
JB's Bazaar, looking for LEDs. So you guys both attended the Midwest Gaming Classic. And I know JB, you went on Saturday for the Legacy Tournament, and Josh, you went on the Sunday for the Modern Tournament. JB, how was it?
It was interesting. I mean, the payouts were crazy just because nobody showed up. Although, for the EDH tournament, right after the Legacy one, there was, I think, 32 people that showed up for that.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. I think first place was a wheel, right?
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm. How did they determine it was a heads up?
No, it was the 4-player pods, and then it worked out well with the numbers where the winners went into another 4-player pod, and then the winners went into another 4-player pod, and then you had your final match of 4 people.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's gotta be hard to do. Win 3 games of EDH. Woo!
Yeah.
I would assume it would be hard, but I have to assume that a lot of people showed up with just their my friend's EDH deck. And I think this is what people don't understand about EDH and CDH. If you have a CDH deck or if you're playing EDH and you haven't played against a CDH deck, CDH decks are so streamlined and they just can beat you so consistently in like 3 and 4.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all about consistency in CDH. You never, like, people think, like, don't, when you think CDH, don't think turn one wins. Think of, like, consistent turn 3, the game's going to be over.
Yeah, like Legacy.
I wouldn't say Legacy. Well, sometimes it can be with Legacy. Like, dude, there are those ultra cutthroat, but Legacy has, I guess, streamlined patterns that you kind of fall into. EDH, you don't get really that. The only, like, constant is, like, generals, and sometimes in CDH, some generals are just so powerful. Like, I think of, what is it, Salvala. She's super consistent, even though she's just mono green, just because her as a general is able to produce so much mana.
And there's also that, like, Rogak, Silas, Storm deck is really hot right now. Godo.
Yeah, all those generals that just pretty much come into play, if this is unmolested, I win the game. Those are good CEDHs, and then the ultra cutthroat ones are usually the partner ones just because they have so much card advantage just between Tyrion and what's the black-white one?
Timna.
That's the one you're thinking of.
Timna. What's the one that's 4-mana draw? Look at the top card, put a land in play. Thrasios and Timna is like the most popular. It's probably the best EDH deck.
Yeah.
File Smasher Thrasios isn't bad either.
No. But just because your generals are so cheap in there, so you get them down under really quickly, and you get 2 different ones, and then they both have draw effects on them, and then you get to play all the best cards in those colors, which includes tutors and blue cards. So typically those decks are just so streamlined and cutthroat.
Yeah, they're all combo decks too. Everyone, like, the only way to win in EDH, in my opinion, is to combo.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to actually deal like 120 damage.
Right.
And typically what ends up happening is if you try to do, like, the long game of EDH, where you're like, all right, I attacked him for 15, and then next turn you're like, I'll attack him for 15. All of a sudden you have the highest life total, and then everybody's eye just comes towards you.
Right.
So you never want to do that. JB, what did you end up playing in the Legacy tournament?
I played Delver, and it was okay. I mean, I went 2-1, so whatever. I'll take it. But I got stomped by Curses, which was interesting. I've never seen that deck in my life.
Is that like a Helm of Obedience deck, or is it just straight up like I play tax stacks effects and curses you?
Game one, he got me with Helm, and so I boarded as if it was like a Painter's Servant deck.
Sure.
And then game two, he landed like a turn one Trinisphere, and that just took me out of the game immediately.
Yeah, just completely locked out. When you were at the con, did you do anything other than Magic? I don't know how long you were there for.
Oh, yeah, I walked around. I mean, I'm more interested to see if Josh did anything, because I was going there for the con itself, and the Magic thing was like a bonus, and I ended up getting like four Arid Maces, which basically paid for the ticket.
Nice.
But, yeah, I don't know. I looked at, like, old vintage games and, like, bought a poster or two and a vinyl of a game that I like, so.
I just, like, looked at everything. I didn't really play any of the computer games or anything, because it's really, I've kind of veered away from gaming in general. But,
dude, I played Number Munchers. They had Number Munchers. It was great.
I remember that game. Wow.
Everybody loves that game.
That game was great.
Why is that not on the top 100 games of all time, Number Muncher?
Every kid has played it. It's great.
I wonder what the age, like what when that stopped being like used.
Once we got rid of floppy disks and Macintoshes.
Right.
Once those left the arena, that was it.
I played in that modern event on Sunday, which had like 10 people.
Okay.
I definitely was out of shape because I punted a bunch in round one and took a loss to green-white Valia. But I ended up 2-0 or 2-1, and I got a bunch of packs. I think the best card I opened was a Delver Secrets.
Oh, was it the OG Innistrad?
No, it was the new Innistrad.
Oh, whatever, yeah.
But I had fun for what it was worth, and like I got home right in time for the Packer game. So
nice. Dude, they told me that in the draft on Friday, only 6 people showed up. And then on top of that, because they had so much prize support, expecting, like, multiple pods of 8 for drafting, they gave first place, like, 40 packs.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty dope. I mean, that's insane.
And it's free to enter, too. So literally anyone could have just sat down and probably gotten, like, 10 packs for nothing.
Yeah, I think it was like 14 packs to first for the modern on that one.
Yeah. That just shows you like how much people care about EDH, right? Like draft, nah, not really. Modern, not really. Legacy,
It's all EDH now.
Did Legacy and Modern, do they allow proxies?
They said there was proxies allowed. I don't think anyone used them though. Everyone was playing what they had.
Okay, cool. That's surprising.
I didn't see any Ragavans at the modern event.
Yeah. 32 people for that EDH. That's insanity.
Right.
People just love that. Plus, I think with EDH, it's like, I don't know how to put this. Like, it's like the modern Game Boy. You just keep it with you at all times, and you're going to find people that play it.
Mm-hmm. You can keep one deck with you, and then you can find someone to play.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I played EDH on Friday with some, I got to play with some, a new pod, some friends that I knew. I played my Urlok deck, and I punished the table for a bit. There was also a guy on Yuriko. There was someone on green-blue, I think it was the elf guy. Azuri, and then Ari was on Alaysia. And then there's like a lot of board wipes, so like we got to like turn 10-ish or whatever, and like everyone was at like about 12 HP. And I had a mana doubler out, so I was giving everyone double mana. So then I, like, cast a Torment, a Hailfire for, like, X equals 12.
Yeah.
And the Yuriko player commandeered it.
Oh, you just auto-dead. Well, I spent all my resources doing this, and I died.
And we all died. Everyone died. Because everyone was at, like, 12 life.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a multiple board wipes from the Alaysia player.
Torment of Hellfire is one of those weird EDH cards that just, like, when it first came out, everybody realized, like, how good it was. It reminds me of Extinguinate Blood, where it just was, like, your X total doesn't need to really be that high.
Right.
Whereas, like, all the other, like, red X spells, it's like, well, to get that, you have to have, like, an X of 90 or whatever to get everybody off the table, whereas these, like, 12 is enough, so black, black, 12, bam, get everybody's dead.
It's a $20 EDH card.
Yeah.
But even though I lost, I still feel like I won because it was my spell that won the game.
That's not how it worked. Was there any prize in the line or just for fun?
No, it was just fun.
Yeah, I think That's like my biggest takeaway from EDH is if there's nothing on the line, like I just mess around. I don't do anything. But once there's something on the line, I get like, I'm like, okay, let's get some packs on the line.
Mm-hmm. Did I do anything fun that game? The Tournament of Hailfire was fun. I gave everyone fun. Double mana.
Isn't that the point of EDH is to have fun? What happened?
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out all the other plays I did. I had an Ankh Mishra out too.
Oh yeah, everybody take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had something that died right away.
Bam. Did this secret layer, is this... Oh, okay.
Dude. Nothing. You know, keep going. You know what deck I want to build? I want to build the one that makes everyone have mana barbs. Or mana burn, I guess.
That's the Urlok. That's the deck I was playing.
Urlok, nice. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that was his name.
Jund Enchantments is what I play.
That's pretty sweet.
That's a deck I can
get behind.
And I win with, like, my win cons are Torment of Hailfire, Earthquake, Hurricane. in addition to all the other, like, it's got Ankh Mishra, Zozu the Punisher. Got the one that, like, it's got Mana Barbs. There's the one where you take a point for every artifact you have on your upkeep. There's the one where if you tap a land, you have to tap all your lands. And then it's got all the mana doublers. And then it's got, like, you can only cast... It's got the... Green, it's a green reserve list enchantment, City of Solitude, which is like Teferi, you can only cast stuff during your turn.
Dude, that 3-mana Teferi, or any of those Teferis, those things, if you're not going to win the game on your turn when you cast it, those things are a curse, because you can't, you end up like not being able to like talk with your opponents, like, hey, do you have a counter spell? Because they can't do anything because you have that Teferi. I have to counter everything, and I'm the only one, so it's like, you gotta be careful with that card.
No, it's like, even I have to follow the... It's like, it's old Magic card, so it's like symmetrical.
Good, so it should be. Should be punished.
Yeah, you would like that deck, but it's also got like the Strip Mine, Azusa in it now, and Crucible Worlds, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, most people are pretty cool with like Strip Mine or Wasteland effects. It's just the Armageddon effects that people go like, they roll their eyes at.
Jockle Hops. There's not a Jockle Hops in that deck. If I had one, I would put it in there, though.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody, time to ruin everybody's day. We're going to start from scratch now.
I don't think Jockle Hops is all that bad of a card.
Whoa, come on. It's lands, creatures, and artifacts, right? So it's like, yes,
it's
if you're playing Mono Red Enchantress, yeah, you got it.
How mad would people be at, like, Upheaval into...
It's banned.
Is it?
Upheaval's banned.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes
sense. It's like Jackal Hops, but it makes everybody angry because they're like, I have all these cards that I can only play one of them.
It's really bad for the player whose turn it is or whatever.
I really want to play Limited Resources as well, but that's banned too. I really wish it wasn't.
Yeah. There's a lot of cards that could be unbanned, like Biorhythm. That could come off.
Coalition Victory, all that stuff.
That could come off, yeah.
Biorhythm is the one that you draw a card if you play a card you haven't played yet.
No, your life total is equal to the number of creatures you have.
So each player's life total. So if like the two control players with zero creatures, you're like, all right, you die.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I like that. Yeah. Well, that's why you have counters. It's like who cares?
It's like 8 mana.
It's so much mana.
That's like what 6 I mean. green.
You should be able to play a card like that because counters exist. You have a free counter spell in that format.
I'm on the, if like you're casting an 8-9 mana spell, it should win the game.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, well. We'll never be able to do it because we're not the rules committee, so it doesn't matter.
Vasta's Oracle? All right. Everything else? Nah.
Yeah, Vasta's Oracle is the most toxic card to EDH.
It's really bad.
Isn't it 5 mana? It's 5 mana to ditch your deck and then play that card?
No. It's 1. Mm. It's Demonic Consultation for a single black.
Yeah.
Oh, and then so it's 3.
Vasta's for 2 mana.
Even better. Yeah, you could just win on turn 3 instead of turn 7.
At instant speed.
Sure.
usually how it goes is you go Vasta's Oracle, nobody counters it, trigger on the stack, that card win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where some bad players might cast or might Demonic Consultation first, and it's like, no, fool.
Yeah, because then you just lose to yourself.
Right. Yep.
For like modern right now, all I've been thinking about is just making decks that have cards like Biorhythm in it. Just like cards that aren't like somehow win the game with Biorhythm.
I was watching Seth and he was just playing like that Jared the Lion or Karth the Lion.
Mm-hmm.
with like just random six mana planeswalkers, like all the old Garrick's, and you beat like burn with it, like burn with it, like because once you slam a six mana Garrick on the field, nobody can do anything about it.
Yeah, it's just too cards big.
Cards are just not designed to deal with things that are in that range, you know.
Well, it's because they had card designs that were specific for Modern. So, obviously, they're going to go for the meta in Modern, not just some weird stuff you're doing on the side, which is why you can, like, catch people off balance with it.
And with the Karth, you can, like, ult the Garrick right away.
Yeah.
It's, like, really dumb.
Is that the overrun Garrick?
No, I'm talking about, like, the six-mana black-green one.
Oh, that makes, from...
Throne of Eldraine? Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, that one.
There's also the 7-mana one that destroys target planeswalker, but from like M13, was it? Wow, or M14? Right. It was M14, I think.
There's like a 4-mana Liliana in that deck, too. It was really stupid.
Yeah, it's basically, can I alt with them almost immediately? Put it in the deck.
Right.
That's cool.
And like Nissa. Because Nissa is actually just a good magic card.
Yeah.
Nissa's in my Urlok deck.
Who'd have guessed generating a ton of mana for nothing is great.
Yavi Maya. Green Urberg.
I didn't even think of that.
I have both Green Urberg and the Black Urberg in there. And right. Cabal Grip.
I got the deck I'm going to try to build. It's going to be Cyclonic Rift with Biorhythm and Memnite. That way when I...
very original.
Cyclonic Rifts. Biorhythm. Cyclonic Rift. Yeah, Cyclotic Rift plus win condition. Yep, we did it. Not for EDH, because it's banned in EDH. I'm talking Modern.
Cyclonic Rift's not banned.
No, I'm saying Biorhythm is.
Biorhythm.
Yeah,
in Modern. Biorhythm? I don't know if Biorhythm's in Modern, because
it's a ninth edition.
It was in the ninth edition, too? Oh,
yeah, I'm definitely going to try this trash deck.
A nice white border for you.
Yeah, well, I can play a black border one.
You could play the white board and make people mad.
Is it Onslaught, the original one?
I think so.
I remember when that card came out. Onslaught was like my real introduction to Magic.
That's gotta be the best. It's one of the like better sets.
That was like when I started spending my own money on Magic.
So, Jeff, what's your bad card of the week? Play the music. It's Island. Okay, he texted me. We're good.
Oh, I know what knocked out my recording. Tony laughing into his mic too heavily.
Oh, sweet.
No joke.
It was on flat for Biorhythm.
Yeah, it was.
I remember.
Nice. So, before we get into our topic, which I want to see if you guys are real Magic players today, which we're going to be going over Magic terminology. These are like things that you can't really have like conversations with people or they wouldn't understand that don't play the game. But there's that new secret layer that they just came out with, which is the MSCHF, which I don't know what that is in reference to at all. I have no understanding. Josh, do you know what's going on with this?
Hans, the start over, I was reading this list that you put on in the spreadsheet.
That's fine. The secret layer that just came out, MSCHF. I don't know what that is.
The mischief one.
Oh, that's what it stands for?
Yeah.
That's just like if you sound out the letters. It doesn't spell mischief. But like
No, I see it now.
But apparently it's like some like label or whatever, for lack of a better word, that like has limited time drops on their website. Like they do like basketball signed by Michael Jordan and stuff like that.
Sure.
And like shoes and all that, and these Magic cards showed up that look really sick. Like that Blood Moon is like choice, and then there's like a Plains with a golf course on it.
Yeah,
and
the Swords of Plowshares looks like it doesn't look readable as a card. So I want to play it.
Did
like,
I the Grim miss Tutor the ability is to also buy it? One.
I don't know. Like, there's nothing leaked yet. Like, all that's been leaked is the images of them.
Okay. Well, when you said that it was up on a site already that was for, like, an auction site, basically, I'm like, did I miss out?
What the mischief, like, you have to, like, pay to be in the mischief, like, email. It's like you get an email or whatever.
Sure.
For when the drop is live. I don't know what it is, but I'm assuming this is what, it's got to be something like that.
It was like sneakerhead culture.
Yeah, it's like sneakerhead culture. You got to be a member to get the drop.
Dang. Oh. Really? Oh.
I know. What a bad feeling.
I don't know how that's going to work with Wizards, though. I don't know how that's going to work with Wizards. Mm-hmm. Because, like, all it takes is one person to be like, hey, this Sneaker Lair drop is live. and then the entire internet can get onto it. Who's, you know, ever on the internet at that time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From what I understand, it's like is going to be like extremely limited. These ones, like Ultimate Secret Lair. So yeah, that like Grim Tutor is going to be like original Grim Tutor prices.
I would be more happy if this was more of like a con exclusive. I would feel less bad if it was a con exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have to be a membership for this, forget this. Like, I'm already off it. No.
We don't know that.
Okay, whatever. If it is, like, I'm just off it.
Right. I just want the planes. Just give me the planes.
Everyone wants that.
It's so ugly.
I want the Blood Moon and the...
That's cool, too.
The Grim Tutor.
But, well, there's one card in here that formats just... like EDH, so yeah. I don't need Grim Tutor. It's fine. You can have that.
There's like a Cut to Ribbons in there. What does that card even do?
Deal 4 damage on the front for a red and one, and then it has like black X. Target player loses life, I think. It was like a huge bomb in Amonkhet. It was so good.
Like limited.
It was the best card you could open in limited. Deal 4. It's 2 mana. Deal 4 to target creature, and then you know black X kill you.
Yeah, dump your mana.
Yeah.
Wrecked.
Amonkhet was a weird limited set just because the mythics were the god cycles, and they weren't that strong in limited just because they all had those weird conditions that were kind of difficult.
Azorhab's pretty good.
No, even that one wasn't. I mean, it was self-fulfilling. The best one was probably the white one because it made 2/1s. Heliod did. Mm-hmm. So you just could pump 2/1s, and then the green one was just like you treated it as an enchantment. But you could always pump something and then be able to attack with it. So those, like the green and white one were like somewhat good. The blue one was like unplayable because it had that clause of like you have to have 7 cards. Hazoret was weird because it had to go in an aggro deck. If you didn't have it in aggro, it was hard to get it down to 1 to 0 cards. And then the black one was Bantu, and I think that one was like, I forget what that one was, but it was, I know it had like black and 1, draw a card, lose life or something like that.
I remember his board wipe or whatever where you don't untap your lands.
That was a good card. That's so, it's like fringe playable in modern.
EDH too.
Yeah. It's just so cheap.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this Secret Lair, the 6 cards, what is it? Blood Moon, Grim Tutor, Swords of Plowshares, Cut to Ribbons, Planes, and then Teferi's Puzzle Box, which...
That one too. That one's like, I hate that magic card. Like, yeah. That's like one of the missing Jeff's most hated magic cards is that Teferi Puzzle Box, because it does make EDH miserable.
Dude, I
if you're bad at EDH, yeah.
When I saw because that art, I honestly thought it was a crossover with Minecraft, because it looks like one of those Minecraft boxes, like, you know, just like a square box with like a simple design on it.
Mm. Yeah, it could have been. Also, the Swords of Plowshares is really awesome, but the problem is there's so many awesome Swords of Plowshares.
Right.
Yeah.
There's so many magic cards now, but I do like that the cosmetic thing. I like that we are getting more cosmetic appeal for the game rather than like more pushed Okos and Brazen Borrowers.
Yeah, fair. These ones are just so jarring to the eye, and it's the same thing with any of the Secret Lairs. Like when they're like the Dismember, for example, and the new one that's coming out just previously before this, like that doesn't look like a magic card, and we're already away from that design. So it's just and those probably sell more than other ones just because they're it's thematic and people like that stuff. But this one is just like 6 random arts.
It's so, but they're so like, they're good arts. They're like,
The
planes is something that is beyond anything I'd ever see. I can't tell if it's a painting or a real like photo, if it's like a photo of a golf course.
It's hard because we don't get the up close version of it.
If it's a photo of a golf course, that's like the coolest magic card on the planet.
And the worst part is it's a plane, so you're going to see so many Death and Taxes players.
Just super lazy design. Oh, it's great.
Getting their Thalia's Altar to have like golf clubs in their hands.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. Exactly. That would be so... Just put all of your white weenies in golf outfits.
All those.
What do you do with Rashad in port? You just like have...
Does that card even get played anymore?
Yeah, it does.
It gets played, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Just have caddies there. Wasteland
turns into a sand trap.
Is Maze of It like... No. Back to Maze. I feel like Maze of It would be really good now, right now, with all the Ragavans running around.
Not in that deck.
Krokus is where it's at.
Krokus, yeah, it does the same thing, I guess.
Well, mm-hmm. Better. Forces them more mana.
Yep.
Krokus has got to be at an all-time high.
No, it's still like $35. But yeah,
I'm talking about like all-time high playability.
Yeah, for sure. It used to be like one of those fringe things that you would get Dark Dust players with, but now it's like, well, there's so many random legendary creatures that are getting played more and more. So,
dude, someone right told me to put it in the mirror against blue-red.
Now we get uncommon legendary creatures that are like legendary for no reason. Like, there's a bunch from Strixhaven that like didn't need to be legendary.
Oh yeah, sure. What were you saying, JB?
I was just saying that someone told me that they think you should side in against blue-red a Caracas, just so that way you can deal with their turn one Ragavan more often.
I mean, I see that. I would actually put it as an argument to save your Ragavans from their bolts, because it turns off like their bolts immediately. Like, you play it in, and you're like, oh, good luck killing my Ragavan. And
so bad. You get one, like, you bounce your Ragavan against their lightning bolt once, and like their mind is messed up for the rest of the match.
Just people always forgot that. I mean, that was like an old legacy combo with Vendilion Click. You'd have Vendilion Click and Caracas, and you'd basically lock them out of the game. Like, right. Oh, what do you draw? Oh, it's trash. You can keep it. Oh, you drew a land? Okay, keep it. Oh, right. Relevant spell? Put that on the bottom.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, maybe Caracas is making a comeback, but just because Ragavan's one man, it's weird. But all right, guys. We're going to get into Magic terminology. These are things that are unique to the game Magic the Gathering. You couldn't really use these in other contexts. It wouldn't really make sense. Maybe there might be a few of them, and I know a couple of them are some that are used in poker terms, but other than that, a lot of these are just like straight up either originated from Magic the Gathering and then other games have adopted these as well, or cards that have existed in the game that have used this term. So I was gonna ask Josh and JB, you guys, some of these terms. I'm gonna save JB the on line number 14 when we get to it. But Josh, what is aggro?
That's like attacking with creatures is your game plan.
Yeah, so it's basically the short for aggressive. Is aggro itself an actual word? I don't know.
No.
Think it is.
I do math, not words.
All right, JB, what is Alpha Strike?
That's when you go in to attack for the win.
Nice. Nice. All right, Josh, you should get this one. Aristocrat.
So, Aristocrat, nowadays, now the name has come to mean just like a red, black, white sacrifice deck.
Yeah.
But the name originates from Falcon Wrath Aristocrat and Cartel Aristocrat in the original Innistrad block as like a... Who was Tom Martell or whatever?
With the sack deck.
Got to the top 8 with it or won the whatever event it was.
Cartel Aristocrat won me a whatever that set is that had Jace as the promo, like the 20-year Magic. Oh God, what were those called?
From the Vault.
Yeah, From the Vault. It was the 20-year From the Vault. That deck was great.
And that term's still used for like Aristocrat-style deck, even though... You know, sack deck. Well, they call it Jund sack. They don't really call it Jund aristocrats, do they?
No.
Aristocrat kind of like that's what I started with. It, like the aristocrat not only like applies to the sacrifice nature of the deck, but it also I feel like has meaning in that it has to be Mardu colored, like red, black.
Yeah. No, I don't even think it's that. No one... I think it's white black because the Orzhov is very related to like aristocratic style the original Ravnica.
I meant like you have to like any if you're not if it you have to use red, black, or white, not like all inclusively. It's like it has to be some combination of those three colors.
Right. I'm just saying it because you look at the type of characters that are in Orzhov itself, aristocratic.
Yeah.
So like art wise, I think it also implies that it's going to be black, white purely because a lot of those cards tend to have that feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think the name does come because before that, I don't know if it existed. There might have been sack decks like Arcbound Ravager, but that was more of an affinity deck than anything. But the Aristocrat comes from that Falcon Wrath Noble or Falcon Wrath Aristocrat deck that killed people with Blood Artists, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. JB, do you know this is more of a limited term, but when people refer to things as bears, gray ogres, or hill giants?
Well, I'm going to assume because it's all combined together. Bear is 2/2. I know that one for sure. It's like a generic 2/2, no abilities. Yeah. Gray Ogre is probably a 3/3, and Hill Giant is probably a 4/4 for 4. So it's mana cost 2, 3, and 4, no abilities, 2, 2, 3, 3, and 4, 4.
Josh, do you know the answer?
I thought Hill Giant was a 3-3.
Yeah, so these are kind of old terms from, like, old Magic days, whereas a bear is a 2-mana 2-2, a gray ogre is a 3-mana 2-2, and a Hill Giant is a 4-mana 3-3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, I would have never guessed the other two then.
Yeah, if you go back to the old days of, like Limited, like, you sometimes just had to play Grey Ogres just because cards stunk so bad back then.
Mm-hmm.
Or Hill Giant.
Or just having a body on the board.
I still play Hill Giants.
In Limited?
Yeah.
No way, dude. Hold on. What are you playing a Hill Giant? Like, a Hill Giant card as of now? You're playing, like, a 4-mana 3-3?
There's some, like, bad 4... I'm playing... What's that? The Bird Admirer? It's like a 3-mana 1-4 that flips into a 3-3.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's still not like a 4-mana 3-3, right?
It's like the worst werewolf, and Jim makes fun of me all the time.
It's a pretty bad one.
It's got reach, but there's like, if I was at the beginning, I was playing some bad 3-2 Flash Wolf or whatever, but.
Well, Flash is like, you can use it as like a, you know, as a removal spell some of the time, or surprise blockers. Haha.
They don't really make Hill Giants anymore, but.
Yeah, not anymore. The last time I remember, like, Hill Giant was, like, they made Canyon Minotaur for, like, M12 or M13, which is the same exact cost, just a 3-3. And then I don't recall ever playing a 3-mana 2-2 with no abilities, and bears get played all the time. Like, they usually have, it's usually bears with upside, which is kind of the new term, which is, like, a 2-mana 2-2 with lifelink, a 2-mana 2-2 with, you know, add haste, add generic ability.
Reach.
Yeah. Josh, what does blinking mean?
Blinking, which is different than flickering. Blinking is when something exiles something and puts it back onto the battlefield right away. Whereas, like, flicking exiles something and brings it back at the end of turn.
Yeah. So the I don't know where blink comes from. I don't know. There's not a card called blink that I know of.
Momentary blink.
Yeah, that's the original one that has 2-mana and then 4-mana flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, Venters along the way have had that kind of ability. And then Flicker Wisp is the one that you're referring to with the flickering.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I was going to give this one to Jeff, but he ain't here. JB Burn.
It's just damage to the face or damage to a creature directly for mana. So, you know, you got spells that say deal X damage to thing.
Yeah. All right, Josh. Chump Block.
That's where you're being attacked and you're going to send your creature in to die with no value.
Yeah. It's fun to do that in a limited where you're just like, you have a 2-2, they have a 2-2, and you're like, oh, I'll throw the bluff in there and make them think I have like some kind of spell to protect it. And then if they don't block, I consider them a chump. But if they block a 1 with like a 4-4 with non-trample, it's like, all right, that's a chump block.
Right.
All right. I say this one a lot, but
do you know what
Dobbs is?
Nope.
Okay, he's the worst. But the common term is Lou Dobbs.
Dead on board.
Dead on board, yeah.
Yeah, you are literally the only person who says that. I've never heard anyone say that.
Dobbs. I'm Dobbs.
Lou
Dobbs.
Dead on board.
Yeah,
dead on board. What does the Lou stand for?
There's an announcer, a news anchor named Lou Dobbs.
Oh,
so you just again? I'm Lou. You just say I'm Lou Dobbs.
Literally, never heard that in my life, other than you.
Dead on board is also. I mean, what about Dobbs? Yeah. But
dead on board.
Drago. That should be pretty self-explanatory.
No. I think we got to talk about that one.
Okay, go on.
I'm kidding.
During your opponent's turn.
No. So you're basically run a deck that's essentially all reactive spells. So until your opponent does anything, you're just drawing and saying go.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You play during their turn.
Yep. ETB.
Enter the battlefield.
Yeah. Did they change that terminology before? Because it used to be what comes into play.
Yeah.
And I think they've changed it to be now it's ETB.
Yeah. All right. Everything should be enters the battlefield now.
Fast mana.
That describes mana that generally is very, very cheap or even free and often produces more mana than it costs, such as Soul Ring, Mana Crypt, Mox Diamond, any of the Moxes.
Searing, whatever the heck that thing is, the red ones that produce all the mana for the combo decks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fetch.
That describes a subset of lands that let you search your library. Well, you can sacrifice them and search, hence fetching up a land of the designated type.
Do you know if there is another card that people use that terminology for to go get things out of their deck?
Yeah, Fabled Poser, other than the 10 onslaughts. Are you talking about other than lands?
Other than like, lands.
With like Sword of the Animist, I'm going to fetch up a basic.
Fetch up a basic. I mean, the map. Right. But it's usually it's always fetching a land. I don't think you ever say like I'm going to go fetch a equipment. One. Yeah, right. Search. You usually just say I'll search.
Fetch generally means to go get a land.
Yeah, it's like the 10 fetch lands that it applies to, plus Fabled Passage, plus
Evolving Wilds.
Evolving Wilds, Terramorphic. Yeah, there's so many of them that do that ability. Well,
the
weird part is
the terminology came around when Onslaught came around, right? But
there was
even before then, yeah, there was a set of
Rocky Tar Pit, yeah.
The Mirage one.
Yeah.
The slow fetches.
Yeah. I don't think things started getting their own, like, I don't think people labeled them as that until Ravnica came out, where they were labeled shock lands. And then everything else just started adopting, like,
right,
those names. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we got to, because these are the subset of shock lands, this is how we identify these.
I'm pretty sure they were just called polluted deltas.
Yeah. And then before then, everybody's just started slapping labels on them, and now every subset of lands
has to have a label. It's like the first thing people talk about when a new set comes out.
Do we call these
the mango lands?
Yeah.
What are the ones?
Oh, I want to call them the pineapple lands.
Yeah.
What are the ones from Conflux? The slow tries?
Oh, those aren't even fetch lands.
Those are just tri lands.
Are you talking about the Alara ones?
But now we have
ones?
New tri lands.
Those are triomes.
Those are triomes.
They just adapted whatever that new name is. So the ones in New Capella, if those aren't have the triome name at the end, assuming that those come out in New Capella, they're just going to be considered triomes.
Oh, are they? It's the missing. There's not a triome. There's not 10 triomes, right? There's only 5.
There's just the 5. It's just the wedges is what they're are right now.
Shards in New Capenna.
I think if they are. I wouldn't know if they would be called triomes, but they typically. So one of my theories on like why we haven't had fast lands get reprinted, like Seachrom Coast and Blackcleave Cliffs, because they usually refer to a plane, like those, like Seachrom is, you know, related to Mirrodin. Whereas if you look at the ones from Kaladesh, those fast lands, like Inspire, those are just generic names, like right. Some Pelgrim. Like, I think they've now gone away and they've tried to make lands generic so they can reprint them whenever, you know. Mm. Well, like the Scry lands, which are temples, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's the right way to go about it.
Well, it's just weird because, like, you could throw them in a core set, and they did bring core sets back, but, you know, Black or Seachrom Coast existing somewhere else other than Mirrodin would be, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
That's
but
why we'll get
like,
it with the Brothers
This is hurting my Mirrodin. This is only supposed to be on Mirrodin.
Hey, don't make fun of those Vol rats, you jerk.
Yeah, Gaia's Cradle. You know, reprint that, idiots.
I love that.
Yeah. All right. The term gas.
This is like a good magic card, or when you don't have any good magic cards, and then you get a good magic card, you just drew gas.
Yeah. It's like gas pedal. Gas pedal.
Yeah, I was about to say that's more of a generic term, though.
That's gas.
Right.
Yeah. Go wide.
I mean, it's like
big swing. Dump lots of guys.
Dumping out a bunch of creatures, most like often with like tokens.
Yeah, small creatures that get around like a 5/5 blocker. You just instead of having a 4/4 versus a 5/5, you have 4/1/1s.
15 squirrels versus a single Emrakul.
Hellbent, which this originates from a what's it called ability Ravnica. that didn't really work well.
Ravnica. Yeah. You have to have no cards in your hand.
I'm Hellbent. Poser.
It's like
the exact card that counters the deck that you're playing against.
Yeah. Right. Like. You're playing against Burn. Yeah, playing against Burn, and you happen to have Warship and a creature, they're like, oh, I can't win.
Or when you're playing Burn and your opponent drops a
Warship.
Core Firewalker, that's a hoser.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what Warship does, Jeff?
Or yeah, GB? It's the 4-mana card that you can't lose the game due to damage if you control.
It'd be reduced to creature. Yeah, it'd be reduced. I think Life Loss beats it, but yeah, you can't go above less than one if you have a creature.
Damage, reduce your life total to less than one. Reduces your life total to one instead if you have a creature.
Yeah, but couldn't they just burn the creature and then kill you?
Correct.
Yeah, they can. It's a two-part. Typically, you want to play it. I remember the Eldrazi decks.
Duffy Doll.
Or the Eldrazi decks for a brief moment that were playing like Reality Smasher, because burn could just never accumulate enough burn to pitch to it as well as that. So you just played like a 5/5 that had like a counter ability onto it on top of Worship. So it just was like hilarious. Yeah, you're dead. And jank, which is typically what I normally play.
It's just like, you know,
non-competitive decks.
You built a deck with your favorite cards.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to put this hodgepodge together, which
right.
It used to be referred to as
really like Murktide and Ragavan, and I really like Dragon Race Channeling. So, yeah, I just happened to put the deck together. It's not jank.
Yeah.
You building it, that you playing it makes it jank.
Sure. No, there used to be, before the shards were determined, like there was the five shards, and then after that they had jank, junk.
That was junk. Was jank one?
Jank was one. It was, I think jank was Abzan, and then junk was...
No, junk was Abzan.
So jank was the other one then.
No, there was no jank.
You know, there's bug. There was bug, rug.
Rug.
Jank, junk, and I guess whatever Mardu was at the time. So jank or junk might have been Mardu.
What color is Mardu?
Red, black, white.
Oh, okay.
Junk was black, green, white.
Yeah, Abzan, and then Rug and Bug had names, and then I don't remember. I'm blanking on the last one, which Bug was Sultai, Rug is Teemer, and then Jeskai. I don't think that was always called like USA Control or something.
Yeah, it was always USA.
Patriot.
Yeah. No, Patriot, there you go.
Team USA was
Team America.
Sultai. Yeah, it was. Or Team America was Sultai.
No, that was always Bug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Team America was a Sultai deck.
Oh, it was. I always thought it was just.
No,
I
thought the blue-white-red deck was
the
American
deck was called,
Control, and it was a bunch of planeswalkers. That was
correct.
All you played.
Correct, which is different from Team America. Team America was a Sultai deck that was named mockingly by the French or Canadian players about how Team America would never play these cards.
Okay, that's funny.
So they played. That's when like Tombstalker and Tarmogoyf. And Dark Confidant. People were playing Tombstalker and Dark Confidant in the same deck. And
they
GP with it.
Just kill yourself with your own Tombstalker.
I'm just going to get lucky all day. I'll never hit this.
And it's Nimble Mongoose.
Oh, yeah. Then there's the term loose.
That's like playing loose is like not being so uptight, even though your opponent just played a threat, like you don't have to kill it right. We're gonna feel it out rather than like, you know, oh, my opponent played a threat, I have to kill that right away.
I think of loose as like you just made like a play that was not optimal. Like I'll pretend that your opponent has one of these Chandras that pings and you play like an Atlanta Werewolf and just lost it to this Chandra. Like, oh, there was an onboard threat, and I just threw my card away. Sure.
Well, I always thought that was, like bad playing, but I thought loose was, like, a suboptimal play that isn't completely terrible.
Right. Yeah, it's a real loose play. Like, I wouldn't have made that play, but okay, let's see if it pans out.
That's
because
you don't want to insult people right to their face while they're playing, so you call it these.
I always go, ooh, that's real loose. I wouldn't have done that. And looting. Or loot.
We're draw card, discard card.
Yeah. Looting, you have to draw first.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what threw me off with that one card.
Rummaging? Yeah.
Rummaging.
Rummaging is kind of a newer term, but I think rummaging originates from Rummaging Goblin, which comes from like M13 or something, M12, where they didn't stop putting Merfolk Looter into those things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Magical Christmas Land, which I guess this is generic.
It's like where you're trying to do things that your mana isn't going to support it. It's like saying you're going to cast like a spell that costs double red on turn 2 and then triple green on turn 3 and then quadruple blue on turn 4.
Did that originate with the magic show?
It originated with the original Ultimatums with Lotus Cobra people.
Yeah, the Lotus. Well, it was like it was pinned. It was coined for. I think it's actually coined from. I think JB is right, from the Magic Show with Steve Irwin.
Yeah, that guy used to always say it, and people started saying it.
Yeah.
Today I learned.
And then I think Conley Woods was the guy who every single GP or Pro Tour he showed up to his Magical Crystals Land, where he basically lost all of his matches because he couldn't cast his spells. He's like, well, I'm going to play, you know, Cruel Ultimatum, Lotus Cobra in the same deck. And it's just like, what are you doing, dude? And, and then he's like, ah, Acidic Slime so I can blow up their lands. Like, dude, you're playing 5 mana Stone Rains? What are you doing? It's just so bad. Yeah, he was a flash in the pan.
He's in jail or something now. He's in, like, legal now.
Oh, cool. What a cool guy. One of my heroes. Down. Another one bites the dust. All right, man land.
It's a creature that turns into a... Or land that turns into a creature.
This is part of after that. It must have been after that. World Wake is, like, where these came from. Like, yep. The origin of those. I know there was man lands before that, but I think that's where they initially
Treetop
played.
Village.
Yeah, Treetop Village was, like, a playable one. And then, obviously, Mutavault and the Mishra's... Whatever the other one is.
Going back to when the one lands came out, and now all of a sudden every cycle of lands needs to have a land or name.
Yeah.
World Wake was deemed the man lands.
Yeah. World Wake man lands. Because there's like Forbidden Watchtower, which is like the monocolored ones, which nobody ever talks about ever.
Or the other, the reverse colored ones, the non allied.
Yeah, the enemy colored ones.
Yeah. Like Needle, Lumbering, Spider, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. But those already, the manlands originated from, like, I think that term originated from World Wake, because yes. We had 5 manlands and all 5 of them were playable. I mean, the green white one was like the worst of them all, but that still got played.
Mm-hmm.
Mana flood and screw. So flood means to have too much mana, and then obviously mana screw is when you don't get enough mana, or you keep a 2-lander and you need a 3rd land and you don't draw it. Mill, which they have now coined as an actual term, where I don't think other card games use this. I know like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh use the term mill.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Yeah.
Like is it like a keyword?
No, it's not. It's not a keyword, but I mean mill comes from the card millstone.
Right.
But now it's now like mill is a keyword that they put on cards.
I'm fairly certain like even though other games use it that originated in Magic.
Yeah. All right, mythic uncommon, what does that mean?
Path to Exile. Just like a uncommon that doesn't show up ever.
It's actually an uncommon that's better than most of the rares in the mythics.
It also doesn't ever show up ever too.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Like Path to Exile, you get like 1 per box maybe.
Oh yeah, dude, that was always the worst. It's like they knew.
Expressive iteration.
Right. Yeah, expressive iteration is a mythic uncommon. Shows up 1 per box. If that no, my box didn't even have one.
Get bodied.
Yeah, I feel like when I bought boxes, I would always run into that, like, oh, didn't get any of that uncommon. Cool.
Right.
It was weird with Conflux, because Conflux is a small set. It's not a full, you know, that's even weirder with those sets. With bigger sets, I can understand maybe getting 1 to 0, but with, like, a small set, which is, like, 145 cards, getting 0, zero Path to Exile has got to be the most infuriating feeling.
Also, like, Dragon's Rage Channeler was another one that, like...
Yeah, that was. Net deck. I think that's that was more of a term that people used to insult each other with. That's a net deck.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's still, I still use it to describe a deck that you got off MTG Top 8 or whatever.
Yeah.
Because you can still like use the internet to brew a deck or whatever that has like a core or like a known core, but like a net deck is something that is like you didn't change it at all.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Non-bow.
I like that one. It's like a non-combo. It's 2 cards that don't go together at all in your deck, but you still have them there.
What's a good example?
It would have to be something along the lines of like Bloodbraid Elf, like a cascade into something that didn't work or doesn't or like work.
Like Bloodbraid Elf and like Trinisphere.
Yeah, exactly. Not that people play that, but it would be something along those lines where you have like this Trinisphere in your deck, and then you're also playing like the cards that don't work well with Trinisphere. Like, I'm going to be playing Dark Rit.
Or like,
then, yeah.
Like Hushbringer and Stoneforge Mystic.
Exactly. And people do that. Like, look at this Nombo. Like, oh, I have things that have ETBs, but I also bring in a card that Usually your deck's not themed around ETBs, but you'll play Hushbringer out of the sideboard in your Stormforge Mystic deck, and you're like, oh crap, this doesn't work.
I mean, it's Snapcaster Mage
and Rest in Peace, I'm known for that one.
That's a big one.
There's also the idea that with Lurrus, you can suddenly make Lurrus a non-bow by having a sideboard card that's, you know, a higher cost than two.
Yeah.
That's not a non-bow, that's cheating.
No. You can have it. You just can't present him as a companion.
Oh.
Yeah, like so people bring in like three drops.
Yep, you can sideboard in things that are really, really good against a matchup you're bad against. Yeah. And just say, I don't present Lurrus this game.
Nice. The nut.
It's like the card you need.
Or the nut draw.
You're like best, or like, you know, a sculpted seven, like your best seven.
Yeah. Pinger.
Deals one damage, tap a creature, deal one.
Yeah. There's so many pingers in Magic. They've kind of gone away from that. I don't know why they have.
No, they keep on printing that one that untaps when you play a spell.
In my deck. That's the
Thermal Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Thermal Alchemist. I got that in a deck with, like, I got five lightning or frightening bolts in my deck and two of the eggs and one of that guy, and that's my deck.
Then you got Pump, which is referring to a spell that makes a creature bigger temporarily. Pump it up.
Yeah. I was thinking pump it up.
Pump it up. And then you got Punting, which is something I never do.
Punting
I've done
is
it so
where,
many times.
Punting is where your opponent has a hole breacher on the battlefield and you cast a brainstorm.
Yeah.
Not that I would know.
No. But yeah, the term punting is just like you have the win and you take a line of play that takes you the win away and gives it to your opponent. You're like, oh, oops, I shouldn't have done that maybe. Like with like a hole breacher.
I'll throw away my best card to this rat and pray that he doesn't have the
sweeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched it. You can actually see JB punt on camera. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Multiple times, in fact.
Yeah, in fact.
Same.
I've never had a cam match.
You gotta get good.
Like, I try.
You know, I'm very bad at cam matches.
I love them. They're great.
Except that 1K, I was very good at drawing Ragavan.
Yeah. All right. Ramps refers to cards that would increase your mana count, whether it be through artifact ramp or your typical search your library for a land put into play.
I always saw it as the land into play or creature who produces mana, not so much the artifact thing, but...
I think, like, generally most people think that, but when you get into, like, the EDH... land, like,
and
blue doesn't have that, so like blue has to use artifact
ramp.
That is ramp.
Yeah,
you said EDH, I'm gone.
Yeah, goodbye. Ritual effects.
I think ritual, like a ritual, like in general, means like two mana, add three.
Or Seething Song, anything that's like a temporary add this for the turn.
But
a
what
ritual
about
effect,
Cabal
but, yeah.
ritual?
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, I guess Seething Song's still a ritual.
Yeah, it's just a bigger version of it.
Is Cabal Ritual the one that you get to rip something out of their hand? No, that's Cabal Therapy.
Yeah, ever heard of it? The Cabal Ritual adds two black for three mana and five if you have threshold. Mm,
gotcha.
Sack, which is just, you know, luck sack. No. It's short for sacrifice.
Throw us off.
All right, make sure you beat this one out, RTFC.
Read the fucking card. You gotta beep it out. Like, you have to actually beep it out. So, whoever, good luck, whoever's editing.
I've already edited swears out. It's easy.
Yeah, same.
Scoop.
That's where you concede the game, which you can do at any given time.
You have to specifically pick up your cards with your other cards in a scooping motion.
In a certain fashion, there are players that can be so over the top with it, where they like branch their hands out. And this, I mean, you've all seen it, where they branch out and they just like slowly scoop them all up instead of saying anything because they are just fuming.
I hate the people that don't tell that they scoop, or they just like pick their cards up and I'm like, okay, I guess discussion.
Yeah, I mean that's like an angle shooting move that people have done before, where they're like, I just picked up. Why'd you shuffle your cards in your deck? It's like, wait a minute, what?
Right.
Yeah. Silver Bullet.
It's like often used like with like Stoneforge or something, where you're tutoring up a single copy of something that is
Green
going
Sun
to Kill the Werewolf deck.
Green Sun Zenith something.
Yeah. Unban that one card. Birthing Pod. Which one?
Yeah, it's all silver bullets.
Oh, that was my silver bullet deck that I used to always play.
That one's the best because if your silver bullet doesn't apply to this game, you just trash it for something else.
I mean, Lance is kind of a silver bullet deck. It's like a ton of one of lands.
Yeah, because you have cards that go and get specifically lands and put them into play. So you have these scenarios where, like, I need Glacial Chasm, I need Maze of Ith, I need Caracas, I need whatever, you know, you name it. You usually have lands that can deal with all lines of play.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why you don't like EDH, because you would just love having a lands EDH.
It's a long time waiting for your turn, especially when you're playing with, like, 4 or 5-man pods. You're like, oh, I just want to play.
5-man pods are atrocious. On that topic, the green mythic that combos with the mana bond or fast bond or whatever is the most expensive.
Yeah, dude, that's the casual card. It's the you're talking about with
Renin 7.
Mana or abundance?
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah, that's the card. People in EDH just want to go abundance and slam the card and go, I don't have no more lands, I'm the best. Does it? I mean, you could definitely play that in a Valakut deck.
Right.
Yeah.
Then just go like ping, 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 ping. Yeah. Does it trigger all simultaneously? Maybe not. I don't remember.
Well, if they all enter at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. That
works for all the other versions of Valakut doing its thing, like Scape Shift. You're just like,
yeah. Bleh. It's funny. Slow roll. That's more of a poker term.
That's my favorite. That's Brazen Borrower, the magic card. It's like where you're just sitting on something like that, you know, is like could just like end the game, but you're gonna hold it until like the absolute last minute or whatever.
Yeah, your opponent's at 2, you have a lightning bolt in your hand, and you're just watching them like dig and try to get out of it, and they go found the card, and they go like timely reinforcements, like, all right, bolt 2. Got him. And they're just like, why did you do that? It's like, because I just wanted to.
See, I always thought it also could refer to people who were trying to angle shoot by waiting on the time.
You're talking about for Magic Online?
No. In real Magic, where they want to either draw or win by...
Oh, sure. I mean, that's cheating. It's different.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought slow roll was that, too.
No, slow roll is when you have, like, you could do that, I guess.
Why are you running away from your mic?
My cat jumped on my head.
Oh, okay.
Brazen Borrower is slow roll the magic card.
It's pretty close. But yeah, slow roll. There's like a pretty crazy story about like a slow roll on Magic Online where the guy's like, well, I lost. I got to go answer the door, BRB. And then he doesn't concede to the opponent. Comes back, and then he comes back like 9 minutes later and just casts a bolt. And he goes, oh, my JK. God.
That's terrible. Oh my God.
Just get out of here, cat. Damn it. But yeah, he's just like, I had this win, but he's like, good games. And then he leaves and goes, and like, I have to answer the door. And then so his opponent thinks he forgot. And then he comes back, all right, I'll bolt you. It's like, you're the worst.
Bad.
Snap plus action. So like, snap block, snap, whatever.
Instant. No thought involved. Just,
yeah.
You know, right. It's right.
I was trying to figure out what you meant with that. I was like, snap like the magic card? Like,
no.
Untap 2 lands? I don't think that's what...
Snap plus an action, like snap counter, whatever. Like, I'm going to snap this off. Whatever you're doing, I'm doing. Like, it doesn't matter what we're going to do your next play. I've been waiting for you to attack so I can block.
Right.
Like that. Splash.
That's like...
Adding a color when you probably shouldn't just because you want to play a specific card.
Right.
No. It's usually when you... Exactly that.
Color to your deck for one card.
Yeah. Stacks with an X, not like stack, like stacker, pill that people would take to get juiced.
What I want to know is, because it always refers to taxing, is it S tax, or is it, like, you know, is there an S thing, or is it just stacks?
It goes back, the name originates with Smokestack.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Okay, duh.
Yeah, and that's the original one. That was the OG, like, stacks deck, and that's where it all comes from.
I should know that. I love that card.
Smokestack. Mm-hmm. You play that in EDH and watch how people kill you fast.
People hate you so much. And
same thing with Tanglewire. That's a good one that makes people mad.
Oh, I used to play all those cards together. That's why I hate EDH. Everyone would just kill me instantly, and I'd be like, all right, well, I guess I'm watching for an hour.
Your orb.
That's why you gotta build a board that they can't do that. You're like, well, too late, dum-dums. I'm protected. Go sleep prison.
That's why I like my Urlok deck, because it's kind of like a stacks deck, but people don't realize that they're being stacked.
But they automatically assume you're playing stacks when you're like, I want to play Ghostly Prison. They're like, oh, we're going to kill you.
No, Yurlok, you kill yourself. Like, I'm not the one making you play lands.
Yeah. Then you got Tutor, which refers to the original demonic tutor, and it means go search for a specific card, put it into your hand.
You like that meme I sent you where it's like, yo, this is the same card and it costs 2 mana more? Demonic tutor?
Yeah, versus diabolic tutor. Why did they do this? It's like, well, we had a power balance this game, so we had to make a bad version of it. Wheel, which is referring to like wheel effects, which means it originates from Wheel of Fortune, which is discard hand, draw X cards, depending on what the volume is.
Oh, I thought you meant the show Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel has the seven, like, in the name. Or, like, Wheel has, like, the weight of drawing seven cards.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's Wheel Effect S. Like Windfall, I mean, I guess, but it's, like, Wheel Effects, you know? It's, like, when you think of those style of decks that want to discard and draw, you just play as many of those, like, Dark Deal and all those. I know they don't exactly get seven, but yes.
They got that new one from the... It's, like, discard X amount. Draw that many.
Yeah. It's the Valakut one too. Mm-hmm. From
make a, and it can be a land too. It's great.
It's not a wheel. Uh-huh. Yeah. I think wheel have you have to draw seven.
I got two more. I got the Stains.
The Stains.
Well, this is just you again. This is Lou Dobbs, and the Stains are yours.
Well, Dobbs is a real thing. Lou Dobbs is the little flair I put onto it because that's a broadcaster. And then the Stains is just referring to a card that's so bad. When people play those, like, just horrible cards against me, I call them the Stains. Like, what? Why is that there?
Dude, why didn't you have Windmill Slam in here? You know, like, instant play. Boom.
Well, Windmill Slam, it usually means, like, you drew it off the top of your deck and you slam it. But, yeah, I guess that's one. That's Windmill Slam. Boom. But that's more of a basketball term because that's what they'd be doing in basketball.
Yeah. Windmill Dunk.
And then... Some people refer to this one as sweepers, and I, in my head, maybe it's an eight, like a time of when you played Magic, but Wrath effects.
It's always been Wrath. Whoever refers to it as sweeper is wrong.
It's a zoomer, not a boomer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people call them, like, you got to get your sweepers. It's like, what? I always just Wrath of God is the OG. It means destroy all of something.
Well, I say Wrath.
Tony, isn't that how you always use your Wrath abilities, is you sweep their cards off the table?
No, I only do that with the burning ones, like Rolling Earthquake, like, and I make a noise, and I, as I do it, I like act as my card is the volcano or a, like an earthquake, and I just flick their cards everywhere.
What about when you cast and you go?
I don't do that now, because it's nation. Now if you cast, yeah. Oh god. Yeah, maybe.
Oh man, right, I have to bleep so much.
That word.
Yeah, that's a Magic card.
GD? Yeah.
JD?
GD? Yeah, I can't say that. You guys have any other Magic terms that I missed?
Well, Windmill Slam and Off the Top.
Off the Top. Those are the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
One is preferable than the other. I mean, Off the Top, we would call it a top deck.
Arch Enemy. It's like when it's like 3v1.
Oh, okay, that's more of an EDH. Okay, well, okay.
I'm out.
Nemesis.
I won't agree to that.
Do you guys have any Bizarros in Magic?
Mirror match is when you're playing the same exact deck as your opponent's playing your deck. You guys are on the same deck.
So that's Bizarro. A no. You guys are Bizarros, where you see someone at a tournament that looks like you.
Oh yeah, every once in a while.
Like, there's no Bizarro JB where he's just got the poorest cards. All of his cards are all stained because he puts them in his pocket with a rubber band. It's the opposite of JB. Is a Bizarro JB. It's just some guy, no sleeves, rubber band around his deck.
Oh, I thought you were talking like looks.
Well, both. It would look like you, but be the opposite. That's what Bizarro is. So he would look like you, except all his mannerisms and how he is completely opposite from you. So instead of being all about the wealthy and rich cards and looking for all that in trade games, this kid actually hates trading. And instead keeps his decks in the worst, or all of his cards in the worst conditions.
Should I just cosplay as Seto Kaiba from now on and go to the card shop?
Start ripping Magic cards.
Yeah, you should get rid of your binder and have a briefcase with all the cards in it.
That's what I was thinking. Just walking in with a briefcase and a duster.
Yeah. Always talking about the new cutting edge tech. See, these are gonna make these cards pop. They're gonna make them look foil.
Adding Ragavans to your deck.
Yeah. And then what would be the Bizarro Josh? It has to be a guy that hates EDH. Oh, no.
Oh, wait, that's me. Here I am, Bizarro Josh, right in front of you.
Yeah, no tattoos. And play standard. Wow, yeah, I play standard.
Ooh, okay.
Bizarro Tony. The Bizarro Tony would have to be a guy that never wins because I always win.
Very autistic, doesn't talk.
Yeah, that's the Bizarros. Bizarro Jeff would be he's guy plays loves control. Counter spells.
Yeah, only guy plays loves control. Counter
spell. Next time we find somebody that looks like Jeff, we're gonna be like, hey, just give him a control deck and be like, you guys play each other. Might not be that easy. All right, that's gonna be a show. We are on Discord, Facebook. Check us out. I have added some new things to our show via Facebook, which is kind of nice. I can add clips, but what's weird about adding your podcast to Facebook is you don't have the ability to share it. It's kind of weird.
What?
So I know. I still have to like post like a Spotify link or whatever, because I would post the MTG Cast link like I have been doing in the past previously, but with that link, it's ugly and doesn't show our logo. Also, one of these days, do you guys have any interest in... All right, I'll talk about it after the podcast. That's a wrap. Bye. All right. Podcast.